So in the ground of Shravaka, composed by Asanga, so in Asanga's Shravaka's ground, he said very beautifully as to how these five different omnipresent mental factors are arranged or arranged in sequence. So the first he said the mental factor of attention, because the first we tend to have the mind tend to be attentive over that object, and being attentive, after being attentive, then the mind tend to really try to see whether or not the object whether or not that object is really over there. So that is the mental factor of contact. And next is the mental factor of discrimination. So after having the contact with the object, then the mind tends to then start discriminating as to what that is and so forth. And because of that discrimination, then the mental factor of feeling arises, because the mental factor of feeling then tend to see through that discrimination. Then it starts feeling the experiences of pain, pleasure, neutral, whatever. Then after that, because of that experience of pain and pleasure and so forth, then the mind tends to go after that or tries to kind of withdraw out of that. So that kind of the mobility or the movement of the mind is actually the function of the mental factor of intention. So this is the way Asanga sets forth the arrangement of the five omnipresent mental factors. And then the karma of the action is classified in two different ways, in three different ways. So first, in terms of the mere entity, so the other two, as I said earlier, the intentional action. So these two are classified based on the first one. The act of intenting is the mere mental thinking or mental motivation which is responsible in initiating the physical and the verbal actions. And whereas the intentional action is the physical and the mental actions which are being initiated by that and the act of the intenting. And next, the karmas are also, or karma of the actions, they are also classified on the basis of the doors, different doors. The action, the physical action, verbal action, and the mental action. So because some of the actions, they are done through the physical senses, and whereas some are done through the verbally, and some are done mentally. So three kinds, and then based on the result, it is also classified in three different ways. It is said, in this regard, unwholesome actions are actions that are not meritorious. Meritorious actions are wholesome actions, belong to the desire realms. And immobile actions are actions associated with merit or defilement, belonging to the levels of forms and formless realms. So the third way of classifying the actions would be the classification done on the basis of the results. So one is the meritorious, unmeritorious, and the immobile actions. So the actions committed in relation to the three doors, body, speech, and mind, if complemented by the wisdom, if complemented by the sense of renunciation, or through the experience of, through some degree of experience of selflessness, or through some degree of experience of bodhicitta, then those actions would not be something that is under the domination of samsara, under the dominion of samsara. So it is said, once you have directly realized selflessness, you may still be reborn in cyclic existence under the power of karma and mental afflictions. However, you do not newly accumulate any throwing karma or preparing karma. Therefore, it is all ordinary beings, up to and including those dwelling on the great level of highest mundane qualities or the Mahayana path of preparation, who accumulated the karma to be thrown into a rebirth within cyclic existence. Next, how one dies, transmigrate, and take rebirth. So as such, whatever kind of virtuous actions that one accumulates by way of making prostrations or by way of doing a retreat and so forth, so if they are complemented by the sense of renunciation, desiring for liberation, or complemented by bodhicitta, or through the wisdom of emptiness and so forth, so those virtuous actions would definitely be something very powerful and effective. Otherwise, if not associated with these complementary virtuous attitudes, then however powerful an action, virtuous action you may commit, it would be still be under the domination, under the domain of samsaric facet or samsaric feature. And that will only help you trap within samsara. So as such, if you speak generally, then most of the virtuous actions that we do, they tend to be something which is of samsaric nature, which is the nature of samsara. Because we don't tend to complement these virtuous actions with the transcendental attitudes as bodhicitta and so forth. So how you die, transmigrate, and take rebirth, conditions occasioning death, the mind during death, where the heat withdraws from, how the intermediate state is reached after death, how you then take rebirth into a new existence, and the death following the exhaustion of one's lifespan, death following the exhaustion of one's merit, death due to dangers not being avoided. There are instances of people dying, although they have the basic requirements and facilities, and yet because of getting old, and then the power of the retention diminishes, and thereby eventually die. So that is called the death following the exhaustion of one's lifespan. And where some people, they die at very young age and so forth. So they could be because of the exhaustions of one's merit. And then we can see about the accidents occurring, and because of which death occurs. So they belong to the third category, death due to dangers not being avoided. Both wholesome states of mind, such as confidence, and unwholesome states such as attachment, arise in the mind as long as it operates within gross compositional factors in dependence on being recalled, either through one's own action or through reminders by others. To die with a neutral mind implies without recalling wholesome or unwholesome mental experiences and without being reminded of them by others. So at the time of death, at the time of dying, so actually this explanation about the process of dying is most clearly found in the tantric, the highest yoga tantric literature. So there is the very clear mentioning, the mention of the process of dissolution, the dissolution processes of the various components like the wind, the drops, and the mind. The dissolutions of the four elements were also mentioned. So such a similar presentation is also found or can be also found in the Uttara Tantra by Maitreya. So in terms of the evolution of these four elements, earth, fire, water, and wind, So it is evolved in the process of the beginning from the subtle and then becoming grosser all the time. And whereas at the time of the degeneration, it starts from the grosser to the subtler. So in terms of the evolution of this entire universe, well, it has to be done first by way of the space giving rise to the wind or the energy, and then giving rise to the air, the fire element, and then giving rise to the water element, and finally to the earth element. Whereas in terms of the disintegration of the degeneration or the disintegration of the universe, again it follows from in the reverse way. First the grossest one, that is the earth, and then water, fire, wind and space. So during the actual process of in the actual process of the death, so there is actually the process of there's the mention of the process of dissolution of the various elements. First, the dissolution of the earth element, water element, fire element, wind element, and then space. Sometimes it is addressed as the consciousness element. So the consciousness element again is divided into various levels. So the AD conceptual thoughts dissolution. First, the anti-conceptual thoughts dissolves, and then next the dissolution of the white appearance, and then the red increase, and the black attainment, and finally the clay-like mind arises. So there is the very clear mention of the dissolution process of these various elements at the time of dying. So at the time of death, mental attitude, emotion, whether positive or negative, whether that arises in you by your own thinking at the time of death, or that is kind of recalled to you by someone else. So when the external breathing is about to cease, so there is still your mind is very clear in terms of having the power to recall the positive or the negative emotions. But as soon as those grosser levels of consciousness they cease, then there's no way by which you can actually recall about those virtues or negative emotions. So the most likely among the ordinary people, so that kind of mental state would be very much neutral, not positive, nor negative. But it's a very special case in the highly realized beings or the practitioners of practitioners who have already achieved some level of advancement in their practice, so they can through the power of yoga can actually transform those neutral attitudes or the neutral mental states into virtuous mental states.